Okay, it is now time for Off the Record, On the Record, with the great Joe Campolo, managing partner of the incredible firm of Campolo, Middleton & McCormick, a Forbes top corporate law firm, by the way, in this nation. Joe does a blog, wonderful blog, talks about everything. And the epiphany way back was, let's talk about it on the radio, Off the Record, the blog, On the Record, the show. And the managing partner, the aforementioned Joseph Nicholas Campolo. Sir, how are you?
Jim, doing great. How are you doing today?
Hanging in there, my friend. There's so much going on, I don't even know where to go yet. But, you know, we'll start on the national stage, what just completed, a Barnum & Bailey, another round of a circus, with the inevitable, the acquittal on Saturday, with a 57-43 vote. I don't think that was ever in question. As far as, you know, you got seven flips, you needed 10. Obviously, you needed the two-thirds. It didn't happen. No major surprises here. The most interesting part was, you know, the dissection of it all, the words, you know. And listen, there was some pretty good house managers there led by Jamie Raskin and company. But, you know, to no avail, because when it was all said and done, you know, this former president now – gets another go at it possibly in 4 years, Joe. And that's what will loom large now, is what Donald Trump does in betwixt and between. But give me your assessment as far as leading up to and the trial that took place a week ago Tuesday, sir.
So, interestingly, I wonder if the outcome would have been different if they hadn't done the first impeachment of Donald Trump. That's the one thing that I wonder about. But I'll tell you, So in reality, the articles of impeachment that the House brought against Trump the second time, I think, were correct. Those the allegations in those articles are exactly what the founding fathers feared could happen, and I think the House correctly moved forward with impeachment. Why the acquittal? I think, and you know, I think the House managers did a great job putting on their case. But I'll tell you that Trump's lawyer, you know, effectively gave cover to the Senate Republicans to vote not guilty with that video montage that they put together, which basically showed the history, Jay, of the fact that over the last 4 years, we're all at fault. We're all at fault for everything that's occurred. You can't single-handedly blame Donald Trump for everything, and you can't single-handedly blame him for that moment. You just can't do it. I mean, it's just too much hypocrisy that was exposed. So what does that look like? Well, let's not forget that to this day, people will say that Donald Trump was an illegitimate president, that Russia colluded. Major newscasters will continue to talk about how he was an illegitimate president to this day. The Democrats, you know, revolted immediately when he was elected. Riots took place. Civil unrest took place, and Democrats did not condemn them. Attacks on police took place, and Democrats did not condemn them. You know, and then at the end of the day, it results in, you know, one of those situations where somebody's antagonized for years and years and years, and they lash out, right? And so here the president found himself in a position where now he had an opportunity to put forward a false narrative that the election was stolen. His supporters were out there protesting, and in his mind, it was no different than what he had endured for the last 4 years. Now, the problem is, he's the president of the United States. He's the most powerful man in the world. His words mean something, and that's the reason why I believe he needed to be impeached. And I leave it to the Senate as to whether it was politics or fact as to why he wasn't convicted. I think it could have went either way, as we saw. But we can't have a country where the president of the United States, and they focused a lot on his language, but I think really where the focus was on what he didn't do, right? You can create wrongdoing by doing something, or you can create wrongdoing by failing to do something. And I think the most telling part was just how he reacted when he had learned that there was violence going on. Because I think his speech was clear, even though he was talking about fighting. He did, you know, throw in caveats of peacefully protesting. So I think he covered himself there. But really the problematic behavior, I think, for any president would be if there is acts of insurrection, if people are trying to forcefully prevent the legislature from doing their job, then the commander-in-chief, defender of the Constitution, has to protect the process of governance going on, cannot take the side or be indifferent towards people that are trying to stop the government from performing its duties. And that to me is really, when history boils this all down, you know, that's how we got here. We got here because, you know, I hope we've learned as a country that this bitter divisiveness, these narratives about how elections are illegitimate are so hurtful and harmful to our society. The antagonistic nature it's got to stop. And then, you know, the overreaction by a president and the indifference towards actions looking to undermine the government from doing its job. Remember, the legislature enacts the laws, and the president, as the chief executive, enforces them. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of our governance and how it works. And so he had to. All the way up until that moment, when they started to breach the Capitol, before they breached the Capitol, I don't think he did anything wrong. I don't think he did anything wrong in terms of what he was saying. He was pressing this false narrative, and that, you know, we have to grow past that. But it's been years and years and years, and honestly, I was just sick and tired of hearing everybody about Russia collusion. And even after Mueller came out with his report, people were saying about Russian collusion and he's illegitimate. And I knew where it was going to head, because that's just going to be the way that they do politics now, right? And we need to grow up and accept the process that when an election happens, we accept the results, win, lose, or draw, we move on. We can legally challenge them, of course. That's what the courts are there for. But the court, you know, the courts speak, and we move on. And that's, you know, when I think history looks at it, Jay, I think it's going to be much more about, at that moment when they started to breach the Capitol, the president of the United States, irrespective of anything else, needs to immediately take the side of protecting government and protecting the process and the Constitution. There can't be any indication of support for insurrection against that. So, interesting from a historical time and a constitutional time to see how it all plays out. But this narrative about phony elections just needs to stop, because that's where it got us. You know, that's where it got us. This narrative of we are going to every single day resist, whoever is in elected office rather than trying to help and support them. You know, calling on voters to resist and do everything they can against the other party. All that sort of rhetoric leads us to this. And we're all at fault for that. We're all at fault for that. We all played a part in it, and we need to really use it as a learning opportunity for us to grow up as a country.
You know, to me, it was all about, and listen, this guy still wields a lot of power, Trump. And that's what it's all about. You know, even the visit from Kevin McCarthy down to Mar-a-Lago, you look at Mitch McConnell, who, you know, said one thing and then kind of backtracked in comments thereafter. You look at even a guy like Matt Gaetz, you know, who heads out to Cheyenne, Wyoming to try and denounce Liz Cheney. I mean, listen, it just shows you the power of Donald Trump. And really, to me, that's what it was all about. It's all about what happens in 2022 and 24. You know, is this guy, depending on health, depending on some of the legal circumstances that surround him now, will he put in another run? He can if he wants to. But if things are in the right place, you know, will he? That's a big question right now. And to me, it's all about what the Democrats tried to do was to strip the party even more so down to its bare bones. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, you look at how everything unraveled, you know, and was it an impeachable offense? Did he fan flames? Yes. Could it have gone another way? I think Joe Biden, you know, could have said, you know what? I don't think we should do it. We got other situations to kind of focus on right now. You know, we've got a vaccine situation. We've got a relief plan that we got to put forth. You know, I think he could have taken the high road. You didn't see that. And thus, what you saw as far as, you know, the 5 days that it took. And now, hopefully, this country can get down to business. But the fact of the matter to me is that Trump still looms large. He still has plenty of power. He's still calling shots behind the scenes right now. Listen, even his little, you know, stroll down West Palm Beach there the other day, and the crowds and everything else. And, you know, you can kind of get a sense. Listen, the aura is not going away, you know. I mean, and it's going to go quick, Joe. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens in a couple of years. You know, we'll see what happens. But this guy still looms quite large as far as the Republican Party and their hopes. There's really no one else when you think about it. I mean, who is in the bullpen in 2024? I don't know. Would Joe Biden run again? Would Kamala Harris be the top dog there? So there's still a lot of questions. But all I know one thing is when it's all said and done, Donald Trump's not going away. That's what they tried to do. They tried to get him in every which way. They tried to get him on a Ukrainian phone call a year and 5 days to the acquittal date when it was all said and done. But not the case. Donald Trump looms large here going forward, no question.
Well, what's going to be the platform? So I think that's the interesting part, and you raise a good point. I mean, what's the future of the Republican Party here, Jay, right? So Mitch McConnell is clearly not the future of the party. Donald Trump still has a very loyal following. And look, it's just about culture shifts here in America. You know, in the last 10 years, and with the advent of social media, there's been a lot of social injustice that's come to light. And the folks that have, you know, been the subject of being the oppressor more than anybody else have been white men. You know, the Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter movement, and so Donald Trump, as a white, you know, powerful man, has an opportunity to stoke that, which he's done effectively over the last 4 years, to stoke that fire that, you know, that without saying white America, but, you know, white America, you're in trouble. It's shifting. And you're going to lose your power, and so follow me. And there's a lot of fear that exists in communities and a lot of ignorance that exists out there that cause people to believe that that's the path we should be taking as a country. And that's just not the right path for any civilized country to take. We need to grow. We need to evolve. We need to learn. And we need leadership that's going to get us there. And I just don't see moving forward across the board, you know, a future generation of leaders that are going to try and lead us in that direction. You know, we get a lot of criticism in this country and this cancel culture and former slave owners and all the history of this country. And I get it. I understand that. But let's not forget what America is about. Let's not forget why America was formed. Let's not forget who we are as Americans. Okay? We're not Democrats, we're not Republicans, we're Americans. What does that mean? What does being American mean? It means, you know, a group of people that were severely oppressed by a monarchy in a foreign country who were taking all their money and all their lands and telling them what they could and couldn't do, decided, you know what? We're going to try and create a better country. We're going to try and create a world where everybody's free. Everybody's free to go and pursue their own profession. Everybody's free to go and pursue their own religion. Everybody's free okay, to live life and pursue happiness. That's what America is about. That's what we're supposed to represent in the world. And it takes growing pains. We're so young as a country, right? We're not even 300 years old. European countries are thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of years old, their civilizations. We're only about 300 years old. And we still, you know, focus on the negative rather than on the positive, which as a country we've been able to do. In less than 300 years, we're the most free country that's ever existed. In less than 300 years, we're the most powerful economy that's ever existed. In less, are we perfect? No, we have a huge amount of problems that we've gone through. We've made a huge amount of mistakes. But let's not forget what unites us as Americans. Let's not forget what our values are. And our values are that we created this country. And yes, it was white men who created this country, but we as Americans created this country so that everybody over time in civilization through generations would have a better life and a better opportunity to pursue their happiness, to pursue their careers, to pursue their religion. That's what we're doing. And that's what we need to stay focused on. And that's what a president of the United States should keep this country focused on, is that's who America is. So when we shine that flag and we wave that flag and we hear that Star Spangled Banner and the goosebumps come on the back of our necks, that's what it's all about. And so, yes, we've made mistakes, but we need to learn from those mistakes. We can't be afraid. We need to grow, because that's what's going to keep the world moving forward, and that's what's going to keep us moving forward, is our freedom. But this dividing into two camps and divisiveness and trying to pit white against black, and it's crazy. It's just crazy to me. We need to stop that as a country now and start focusing on the big picture items that are going to continue for us to be free, which is what America is all about, for everyone to be equal, for everyone to have an opportunity. Right? But the media doesn't want to go there. Nobody wants to go there. I'm really hoping Joe Biden, you know, just leads us in that direction once again so we remember what America is all about.
Yeah. And Joe, I hope, I got to tell you, I saw that town hall. I was very unimpressed, I got to tell you. And I'm going to give this guy a chance because, you know, to me, division in this country is in part because of what's going on in the media. And I'm not going to fall prey to that. I'm not. I'm going to keep my stance. I'm going to keep an open mind. I'm going to give this guy every benefit of the doubt. But I got to tell you, 28 days in, if you're going to tell me you're going to undo everything that the previous guy did with, that was right with 50 executive orders that really fall along straight partisan lines, I'm not happy. And nearly delivering all of those little goodies to his party's far left wing and reversing very successful Donald Trump administration policies. I'm still going to try and keep an open mind here, though, Joe. And, the connection to the Keystone XL pipeline, one of his first acts, you know, practically inviting illegal immigrants to swarm the border, not even, giving anything regarding COVID right now. Is there rapid testing going on at the border? I'm not aware of that. And especially, the obstructionist teacher unions wanting to keep schools closed. I mean, come on. Listen, I'm going to keep an open mind here. I was unimpressed on the town hall last night in Milwaukee. I didn't like some of the answers. There were gaffes galore. I mean, I don't know, but 28 in, okay, I got to give him, let's give him 100, please, before we start going crazy. But those are some of the things that stick in my mind, and we'll see what happens. But let's get down to business. This impeachment trial is over, but, you know, from what I saw last night, I didn't like.
Yeah, and look, that's the problem. That's the problem with the 4 years of the media beating the drum, for the most part, on everything Donald Trump did was bad. And so you now have a situation where Joe Biden finds himself in a position where, hey, for 4 years, everything was bad, so everything I undo must be good, right? And it's not. You're exactly right. We need to be looking at the policy issue. You know, not everything Donald Trump did was bad. In fact, for the economy, for national security, a lot of the things that were done were really good. Okay? And it's just because he did it doesn't mean we have to undo it. If they're good, ignore them. We got plenty of other issues, plenty of other challenges, plenty of other problems we could be trying to tackle right now without having to just undo things just because Trump did them. That to me is the pettiness that our country finds ourselves in the lack of leadership that we need. What an opportunity, what an absolute opportunity it would be for a president of the United States right now to be on the stage and say, listen, okay, the guy's not in office anymore. And just like every other president before him, some of the things he did were good, and some of the things he did I disagree with. And I'm going to look at everything, and the things I agree with, we're going to stick with. And the things I disagree with, we're going to change. Now, I don't want to hear about it anymore. Let's move on as a country, right? That's all that really needs to be said. Why they can't say it, I don't know. It's a simple, simple paragraph, right? So that's leadership, because that's what Americans want to hear. We're not idiots. We know not everything was bad, and we know not everything was good. But let's get a fresh set of eyes on it. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of term limits. That's the whole point of election. We disagree. Let's get a fresh set of eyes on it and try and find a new solution. I mean, to say we're starting from scratch, nothing's been done to combat this pandemic, nobody believes that. Nobody believes that. We've seen a lot's gone on. We might disagree with the policy. We might want to change the policy. But why would anybody get up and say we're starting from scratch? Nothing's been done. Do they think we're that big of a moron? 2 miles from Stony Brook Hospital for 10 months, every day, the car's going in and out for testing and vaccine every single day. We've done nothing? I've watched it every day going to work for 10 months. It just doesn't make sense to me, the narratives that are out there. Why not just say, hey, you know what? We're here now. We're reassessing the policy, and we're going to make some improvements to it, make some changes to it, and move on. Why does it always have to be so negative? If nothing was done, we're starting from scratch. It doesn't make any sense to me to even talk like that. How is that helping the country?
Right. We gotta be more open-minded. I am. I'm going to be open-minded. I'm going to give this guy every chance. There's no question. The one guy I'm not going to give a chance to is Governor Cuomo. You know, he completely dropped the ball. Now, listen, Donald Trump did great things. He did. No matter how you shape, you listen, he did very good things for foreign policy. We don't have to kind of rehash. But it went down the toilet at the end, trying to overturn an election, the results and everything else. He forgot about COVID and everything that was going on in and around. In essence, Governor Cuomo's done some good things in the beginning of this pandemic. That's all down the drain because of the nursing homes, the cover-up and everything else. Listen, quite frankly, Joe, he must have his powers stripped. He has to have the executive power stripped. He has to give it back to the legislature. And it's been a little too much. He's had a little too much power, a little too much ego. You know, at some point in time, you have to look at yourself in the mirror. Now, listen, he's a wounded duck. If you watched him the other day, he doesn't have that same demeanor, that same swag. He's hit. He's been hit here. Okay? And it's about time that somehow we get back to some sort of normalcy here. Let the state legislature take over. Let them dictate how things are done. Curfews should be extended till midnight, not 11 o'clock. Come on. Another example of having a little too much power here. Quite frankly, it was bound to come out. Dish James, the report 3 weeks ago on a Thursday, undercounting the deaths in nursing homes, 50%. The leak, the Melissa DeRosa, the Post, the revelation. Listen, it's all out there now. You can't dance. You can't hide. It is what it is. No apology was given. A disgrace as far as this governor was concerned. Where they died, how they died, it doesn't matter. Come on. You can't say that. You can't say that. He had a chance on Monday at 2:30 to come out and say, you know what? I goofed. I made a mistake. I got to come clean. I apologize. I apologize to all of you who lost a loved one in a facility. Didn't happen. This one is not going away, Joe. Not going away.
Yeah, I think the best news for Governor Cuomo is that Donald Trump's been president for the last 4 years and has sort of, you know, really redirected the media towards it. If you look at and I agree with you, it's, you know, he's in a tough place because he took the high road during all this. I think he's got a little egg on his face. He came out with a book about leadership during the pandemic, and now this. And and even his own party. So, you know, Democrats are talking against him. Why? Because of the national profile he got during this pandemic. He became, somebody who would be on the national stage and looking at the presidency. And his own party is going to be using this against him now for people who want to be in that spot. So he gave them an opening, and you're right, Jay. I think he would have been okay if he just had been a little compassionate about it. But, you know, these guys get in a hot seat and they make a quick decision for an answer that haunts them forever. You know, I think all he would have needed to do was show some compassion, like you say. I think most people believe he did his best and he did what he thought was right, and mistakes get made. Mistakes get made, and that's why they're called mistakes. And nobody would ever blame him for intentionally trying to kill people. Nobody's had to manage through a pandemic in more than 100 years. So mistakes were made. So I agree. I think it would have been much more beneficial for him to come out and just say, I'm sorry, but he didn't. And now the dominoes are going to fall, and we'll see where they are. I agree with you, though. I think he took a big hit on this. I think he was hoping it would go away. But you know what? The New York Attorney General did her job. She did her job. She didn't play politics, and she did her job. So hats off to her. And now we got to see what it means.
We'll see what happens. Quite frankly, what will come out of it? You know, now we have seen this guy also walk on water. This one's not going away. You know, when you have 14 Democrats go by the way of Republicans here in agreement regarding the stripping of powers here, that's something. That's an eye opener right there. So that's why I think, you know, this thing's got some legs here, and it's going to stay. It's going to stay. It's not going to go away, because I think people are fed up. They're tired. You know, how dare you, Governor Cuomo, not apologize, to come on and to lie? You know, you heard Ron Kim, who lost an uncle, Assemblyman Kim, who said they didn't know anything about the Department of Justice and the probe and everything else. Listen, Melissa DeRosa didn't just say that to the state Democrats on a whim. You know, they froze. They hid. She used the word hid. They hid. They covered up here. Okay? So this is serious stuff. This is very... Listen, when you have 15,000 deaths, it's serious. It's very serious. So what will happen? I don't know. But you can't have anything less than the stripping of powers. Stripping of powers has to be in place right now. Listen, governors don't wield these types of powers for more than a month. He's had it 11 months, Joe. Enough is enough. So, we'll see what comes out of it. But it's a very serious situation right now. And you could tell that this man's demeanor is not the same. And rightfully so, because they made a very big mistake here. Joe Campolo, off the record, on the record. Joe, let's go to Tish James. We brought her up before regarding the report. But the Attorney General has now sued Amazon for allegedly failing to protect its workers. And we're talking about two New York City facilities against the pandemic. So she alleges that they've repeatedly and persistently failed to take adequate measures to protect its workers. We're talking about its Staten Island and Queens warehouses, as this thing was filed on Tuesday in the New York County Supreme Court. What's your take on this?
Yeah, well, you know, once again, Amazon and New York are in the headlines, and when you're the richest company in the world, you become an easy target for states that are having budget shortfalls to commence litigation. You know, the facts are going to be heavily disputed. I'm sure Amazon's going to vigorously defend itself, but this is just the first of very many lawsuits that we're going to see, Jay, coming out the states against these big corporations, and it's what happens when you have budgetary shortfalls, right? I mean, the states are hurting right now, and you know this stimulus package needs to get passed. It needs to get funding these state and municipal governments, or we're going to have a lot more problems, and you're just going to see a lot more litigation that goes on. So, I mean, if the facts are true, it's troubling, right? So you have these Amazon warehouses, which they try to categorize them like sweatshops with lower level workers in there that are, being succumb to health and safety risks because of COVID and not following the guidelines, right? That would be certainly problematic. It really would, especially when you're the richest company in the world. You got to be more careful than that. But I think a lot of states right now are going to be trying to find creative ways to plug budgetary shortages. There's tons of them out there. And I think we're just going to see a lot of litigation against these big companies because they have the dollars and the states want the dollars. It's all about shifting dollars, right? And the states need them in their coffers. So let's see how it plays out.
Great point. You know, this isn't new. You know, Amazon and New York have had kind of a little bit of a relationship, sometimes not great, right? Going back a couple of years, Long Island City bringing zillions of jobs. AOC chimes in and it goes up in smoke. You know, they want a couple of places out in the East End as well, near Gabreski. You know, it's almost as if Amazon's probably thinking to themselves, hey, what gives here? You know, do they not like us? You know, but it's going to be interesting because, you know, Amazon's standing by its response to this pandemic and pretty much stating James's accusations are inaccurate. Amazon came back with a counter on Friday. And, you know, listen, the question is Tish overstepping boundaries here? Who knows? I mean, by launching the probe, you know, they said it passed on an unannounced inspection. I think it was the end of March because it followed safety protocols at the time. Listen, it's going to be interesting here. We've seen Tish James at it before on a couple of instances that stand out. Did she overstep regarding the NRA? Did she overstep with the NYPD about policy? I'm still waiting for something from her regarding the New York American Water Sector. I haven't heard a lot, although, you know, Governor Cuomo finally woke up about it. So in essence, it'll be very interesting. Very interesting, this kind of little ping pong match going on right now between Amazon. Joe's right. You know, you're gonna see more companies like this gonna go at it with the state here. So James is gonna have a hands full because there's gonna be a lot of counters going on here, Joe, no question about it, you know. So it'll be interesting in the next couple to see what goes on there. Joe Campolo, off the record, on the record. How about a feel good story here, Joe? Did you read this one? Regarding a 93-year-old lifeguard, Reggie Jones, Long Beach's longest-serving lifeguard, passing away at 93. My goodness. You know, he started in 1944. He retired, I think it was 09. Over 1,000 ocean rescues. What a life, what a career. World War II Navy veteran. He passed every recertification test. You know, they wanted to get rid of him. He was into his 70s. But, you know, you talk about a guy who encompasses life, spirit, confidence. You know, it's you know, when there's so much negative, right? You look at a guy like Reggie Jones, and you look at everything he accomplished. I mean, if that doesn't give you a little bit of a jolt, huh?
Yeah, I did see this story in the Times, and it stuck out to me for exactly that reason, right? Here's a guy embodies, and it's what I was talking about before, about America and the American spirit, Jay. Here's a guy, you know, he lived his life, he had his niche, he was a lifeguard, he was passionate about it, and I am sure they tried to get rid of him. He passed every recertification test, made sure he did it, saved 1,000 people over the course of his career, right? And isn't that the types of stories that we need to get back to rather than all of the negativity, rather than all of the problems? Yeah, we have to focus on our problems. But my goodness gracious, do we need to start getting back to I remember growing up, I forget when it was published, but there was a series of books that came out that was called Chicken Soup for the Soul, right? And it was all these feel-good stories that if you read them, it was supposed to be really good for your soul. Right now, we need some chicken soup for our soul, Jay. Right now, there's so much pain, so many problems that we need hope, right? Hope is a big thing. And you can't watch the news and feel like you're getting hope. And so we have to look at these individuals and these individual lives out there and these stories that just seem to go unnoticed by the mainstream media now and give them life and give us hope and make us remember that there's good out there. There's good in this world, and there's good people doing really, really good work. And people are trying their best. You know, I always say that, especially about our elected officials. Politics get in the way. But what I really look for in an elected official is, are they just doing their best? Nobody's perfect. And that's why I support people on both sides of the aisle, right? Is I just look for people that are doing their best. And that's really what we need to look for in life, is people that are just getting up every day and doing their best. And I hope we get back on a narrative in this country where there's some chicken soup for the soul, rather than just constant vitriol and poison all the time.
Without question, just an incredible life. What a story. And I wanted to end it on a good note in that regard. Now, some CMM-related stuff. By the way, you know, I was on the Zoom where Joe and Don Siriani formed the partnership, great partnership, Moving Forward Strategies. You go to the website, by the way, movingforwardstrategies.com. I thought it was a great hour. It was. I kind of hopped on. I had to do an interview, and I hopped on 20 minutes in, and you had some really good people there, good questions. Very well done by Donna. And it seems like it's going to be a very good partnership between the two entities, and it's going to help a lot of people, Joe, a lot of businesses, a lot of folks, you know, as we try and get out of this mess. But I thought it was well done on that call.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, we started Moving Forward Strategies as a resource to help businesses and business leaders and business owners move forward. Jay, we're stuck. We're stuck as a country. We're stuck on Long Island. We're stuck individually, right? People are just, we don't even know the long-term impact of what's going to happen here. When you look at some of the staggering statistics that are coming up in terms of higher suicide rates, higher deaths by overdose, higher alcoholism rates, all these things are going to just have long-term impacts on society. And, you know, we wanted to form a community here on Long Island where we can help lead the business owners and the business communities forward. It's a push-pull society right now, right? We need people pushing us. And we need people that are going to pull us out of the murk. And, you know, we're here. We're here to help. We want everyone to survive. Obviously, the pandemic survived, but their businesses to survive. We want to bring Long Island back bigger and better than before COVID hit. So Moving Forward Strategies is our way of doing that.
I tell you, there was so much energy on that call. I was captivated by it. I wanted more, to be honest with you. You know, I really did. I really wanted more. It was a lot of fun. Listen, a lot of companies are kind of standing put as far as policies and everything else. Joe's company, Joe's firm, Joe's great firm, Campolo, Middleton, McCormick, they are continuing to look for their next star. And you guys are hiring. You guys are on the hunt. Tell me about it.
We're hiring, Jay. We're you know what? You got to make decisions in life. You got to know when to hold, you got to know when to fold them, and you got to know when to move forward. And, you know, we feel now is the time to grow. You know, there's a lot of pain out there. There's a lot of unemployment out there. And, so we're doubling down, and we're going to, we are aggressively looking for talent across the board, all positions, attorneys, paralegals, admin, bookkeepers. We're looking for help across the board. To help us grow this back to where we were, you know, and to where we need to go and to where we need to be. Long Island's still got a ways to go. I mean, it's really inspiring to see the leadership that's out there, but there is a long way to go, and so we want to do our part by continuing to provide a great workplace for folks.
And you guys are doing your part, man, I'll tell you. Tremendous job. Tremendous job. And, of course, you know, listen, one of the great firms here on the island, without question. It's so good that even recognized by Forbes. Forbes doesn't recognize, folks, a lot of law firms, okay? But, you know, CMM is one of those firms. And that's just the situation of how Joe has done his business here, leading this firm and leading it through a very tough period, very tough period. And especially, you know, with businesses. And, you know, you look back on what Joe has done, and I'm not just saying this, but, you know, Joe set up that special, I remember the special hotline in which you invited questions and everything else. So, you know, from day one, you were at it, my friend. So I give you a lot of credit and everything else. CMMLP.com.
Well, I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, no question. Joseph, always a pleasure. Stay well, stay safe. And I look forward to, we'll talk to you in a few. Good stuff, sir.
Thanks.
Great stuff.
Thanks, Jeff.